Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning, this is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is June the 23rd, a great hot summer day here in Atlanta, and joining me in the studio today is Mary Jo and Lee. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sam.
You got my mic on?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make certain you're doing your job.
My job is always done.
Okay, all right. Today's a great day. We have joining us today two individuals from the Longstreet Clinic, Dr. Jeffrey Garrett. He is an orthopedic surgeon, and Margaret Spratlin, who is a outreach specialist for the clinic. So we welcome them. Good morning. How are you all?
Good morning.
Very good. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. We certainly look forward to this. As we always do, we just want to get to know our guests and give our listening audience a little bit of background. So I'm going to begin with Margaret.
Margaret didn't want to say anything,
but as our listeners know, you don't get away with that. So Margaret, just to give us a little bit of your background, where you're from, who you are, how'd you get with Longstreet?
Very good. I am a Jordan native, so this is my place. Very happy to be here this morning, and we appreciate you all having us to allow us to tell a little bit of our story. I came to the Longstreet Clinic exactly 1 year ago with a healthcare background in the Atlanta area, and work as a Longstreet as an outreach specialist, which is our term for gentle marketing. We are out there. I am representing 110 approximately incredible physicians and about 60 advanced practice providers that are all a part of the Longstreet Clinic. And we have 17 different specialties, and we're all over North Georgia. Very proud to have Dr. Garrett as a new man on our team, operating out of our Suwannee and our Braselton location. So just happy to represent a wonderful organization and appreciate you letting us be here.
And to the fact that you're multifaceted as far as the specialties go, give us an idea of the range of specialties.
Right. We don't have every specialty. We like to think that we have most of them, but we have orthopedic surgery, as Dr. Garrett represents, general surgery, neurosurgery, neurology, pediatrics, internal medicine, and family medicine. We have vascular surgery. We have bariatric surgery. A good mix of a lot of the really important care that our community needs.
And one-stop shop for all your healthcare needs, right?
Just about. Great. We like to think so.
Great, great. Dr. Garrett, good morning. How are you?
Good, very good.
As we were talking, you told me you were from the great Northwest, so I'm going to throw it back to you. Tell us about that, and how did you get to Atlanta and with Longstreet?
So, yeah, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I was born and raised in Idaho and Washington State.
The heartland.
That's right. But my wife is from North Carolina, so shortly after we were married, we moved back here. So we've been in the Southeast for a number of years. So I did most of my medical training in the state of North Carolina. A residency was at Wake Forest University. And then after a residency train, I did one extra year in Tampa, Florida, specializing in orthopedic trauma. And that was a great experience to spend time with some world experts in fractures, especially of the pelvis, and also fractures of what we call periarticular fractures. These are fractures that involve the joint, and that was a good year of training there. So Atlanta just was a very nice fit in the Southeast. My wife gave us a nice radius of where we were going to practice, close to home.
Those wives kind of run the show sometimes.
That's
don't
right.
They?
And the northern Atlanta area, when we first saw that, we just kind of fell in love with it and decided to stop here and practice. So I've only been with the Longstreet Clinic for a short period of time. Previous to that, I was practicing in the Roswell, Alpharetta area.
Okay. Margaret, I'm going to come back to you. I'd like for you to give us an overview of Longstreet if you can tell the listening audience as it relates to seniors, I think, you know, we want to bridge that gap. And so obviously, pediatrics probably is not, but we understand. That's no problem. I know you can do that. Just give us an overview of Longstreet, and then I'll come back to Dr. Garrett, and we'll talk about orthopedics.
Okay, great. The services that come to mind, especially for our senior population, are our vascular services that we offer, because achy legs are sometimes more than just tired muscles, so we always encourage the seniors to keep up with what's going on with their, particularly their legs, in case it's vascular related. We also have a wonderful family medicine practice and internal medicine practice.
That's what I was going to ask you. So your primary physician could even be at Longstreet.
Exactly. We have great primary care physicians and available to take care of, obviously, the family needs at all ages, but particularly for seniors, just the day-to-day issues that they have. A real unique program that we offer is called House Calls, and we have a few nurse practitioners that go out to senior communities, in particular assisted living homes, and then some of our patients who are not able to as easily come into the office for care, these ladies will actually make house calls to where they live and take care of their needs between visits with their physicians. So that's a wonderful program.
Is that specific to facilities or to a private home also?
Some of them are seen in their private home.
Okay.
Exactly. If they are patients that need that extra level of care, and again, they're not able to come in and their physician deems it necessary for them to have a house call, that would be something that would be scheduled in addition to certain facilities with which we have relationships and the ability to take care of their clients.
Either of you, for our listening audience sake, let's describe a nurse practitioner and the expertise, the specialty. You know, obviously, we're all attuned to an MD, but let's bring in the nurse practitioner and describe what that is and how valuable she is.
Well, I think a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, any type of a physician extender can be very vital and very important. When a physician's practice becomes busy enough and they are seeing a large number of patients, it becomes difficult to take care of all of their needs themselves. And so a physician extender of some sort really can play a vital role in helping assist in the whole process. You know, the important thing is for a patient to have a good experience from the get-go, from the beginning opening visits through, if they have a surgery, such in my situation, a total joint replacement, a knee or a hip replacement, and then through the whole hospital course and then post-operative care and for really the remainder of the time that we're visiting with them. And it takes a team to be able to make sure that they have the type of experience that is very individualized for them and that they can be happy with and feel that they've gotten their function back or they've gotten the health care that they need. And so it can be very valuable.
And doesn't a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, whatever paperwork or diagnosis or whatever, doesn't that go by you as a doctor or some MD?
Yeah, that's correct. So
they're under
the direct supervision of a physician, and then we are able to look through and make sure that everything is good.
And again, for clarity's sake, and correct me if I have the wrong view of this, the physician's assistant or nurse practitioner is going to be addressing the medical issue, the non-life-threatening medical issues, post-operative visits, and we all know that sometimes, you know, there's pain and discomfort, maybe a slight abnormal amount of swelling, something along those lines, but they're always doing it, again, with the physician overseeing. And so I think it's important for the listeners to know that the physician is not being replaced by the nurse practitioner. She is part, as you said, part of that team.
That's correct. And it's somewhat of a triage type of thing. The physician's assistant or nurse practitioner is not going to be performing the surgery, although they may assist or help. But there are things in the office which they can do, such as in my situation, knee injections or initial post-operative care when it's just, you know, making sure the incisions are healing well. And they always have direct access to the physician either in the clinic that same day or very quickly with technology to relay any concerns or worries.
It's also nice to remember that when the surgeon happens to be in the OR and mm-hmm. is not necessarily mm-hmm. available, the physician assistant or nurse practitioner might be available to answer the patient's questions as needed.
And since we gear this program towards seniors and their needs and stuff, Dr. Garrett, you were telling us some new developments as far as, you know, you hear a lot of, about hip replacements and knees wearing out and stuff like that. Tell us about what you were talking about out off air here.
Well, and for our listeners, this is Dr. Garrett's specialty, is joint replacement.
Right.
So obviously that's how it bridges over to our listening audience. So begin there and just tell us, give us your overview of the situation and new developments or new techniques.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So my introduction to the Longstreet Clinic really was through another one of the physicians that currently has been working with the Longstreet Clinic for many years, and that's Dr. Charlie DeCook. He and I did much of our early training together and have been friends for a long time, and he introduced me to the group. And we share a lot of the same passion for patient care, the same care philosophy, and really have the same practice. And our desire was to develop basically a joint center of excellence and to have the premier joint program and clinic with regards to hips and knees in the area. One of the things that we are building this on is total hips through the anterior approach. And the anterior approach is when we do surgery from the front of the hip versus from the outside or the back of the hip or from the side. And this is a new advance. There's only a handful of us in the entire Atlanta or even Georgia doing this approach. And Dr. DeCook and I are two of them. And the anterior approach is really given us an opportunity to almost take joint replacements in a lot of respects to an outpatient type of procedure. It's amazing to see how these patients do immediately postoperatively and their care or their recovery over the several weeks after surgery. There's much less pain, there's quicker recovery, and it's just been a great advance in joint replacement surgery, especially with the hip.
Is it just less invasive? I mean, what...
Yeah, so just for an example, traditionally the surgeries were performed from the posterior or the back of the hip. And when you do this, you have to cut through large muscles in order to get to the hip. You have to release some soft tissue and other muscles just to get to where you're doing the surgery. After surgery, and patients have done well for a long time, there's nothing wrong with that approach. Patients do great. But after surgery, you still have to protect them and give them some restrictions. You know, you have to protect them from bending over to touch their toes, cross their legs. Sometimes they have to sit on a raised commode or something like this. When we do surgery from the anterior approach or from the front of the hip, we don't have to cut any muscles. We just go between muscles and spread them, and we can easily get to the hip through that approach. It's much less traumatic, and because of that, the patients have less pain. They're able to function faster, and after surgery, we give them zero restrictions. So they can bend over, touch their toes, they can cross their legs, they can do whatever they like. And so, you know, when we see patients in the hospital a couple of hours after surgery and they're already walking the halls with the physical therapist and going upstairs, and even a high proportion of them ready to go home that evening, it's obvious to us as physicians and to the physical therapists and the nurses taking care of them on the floor that this really is a better approach.
You know, and we were talking off air, and I told you, you know, my experience. I mean, 30, 40 years ago, for a total hip replacement, you would have been inpatient, maybe in bed for 5 days, 6 days, and then go through a series of physical therapy just to get to the point of being discharged. And again, please correct me if I'm wrong, since you're the doctor, but it really has as much to do with anything as the trauma done to the
rest
the
of the
muscle,
body.
You know,
yeah.
Right? And you know, it's funny, I tell people this and they kind of look at me, but medicine can be really, how do I want to say this, a very, very gut-wrenching type of situation. What you do sometimes to make people well, you scratch your head and you go, wait a minute, you're going to do this to make them well from this, and that's what it is. It's the trauma on the muscle groups that you're not inflicting now. Right?
Yeah. Well, I think that we always are making advances in medical care, and part of that is surgical approaches and techniques, and also it's a state of mind and it's a thinking. we've discovered that patients do better recovering at home than they do in the hospital. You know, and I think that part of having a good and thriving total joint practice where patients are doing well and are functionally doing fantastic is we have the whole process laid out for them. And that includes home health care that comes quickly with the therapists that go there, and then a process of getting them to outpatient physical therapy when the time comes. And we just find that patients recover much better at home than they do in the hospital. So getting them, having a procedure that allows us to take patients down that road, they just do better.
You know, I understand that. But I can tell you, the layperson out there, when you look at them across the table and say, we're going to cut your hip out and put an artificial hip in, and then you tell them
home.
You're going home the next day.
It's scary.
It is frightening. I know what you say is true, but tell us why they're better off. If the situation is correct, if all aspects have come together, why it's better off for them to be in the home versus in inpatient?
Well, you know, that part of that is one of the most fun things about doing this procedure and being kind of on the front end of a new procedure that's gaining a lot of traction. I had an experience about a year ago where I had a patient who had a hip fracture. And sometimes when you have a hip fracture, we can save the native bone and fix it without having to do a hip replacement. But there's some hip fractures that we need to do a hip replacement. And in this certain patient, we did a total hip replacement in the morning. She was able to go home that evening. She went back to work in 3 days. And was functioning so well with no pain. And that's, you know, not every patient has no pain, but she was doing very well. When she came back to her two-week visit for me to check her wound and see how she was doing, I had to almost reconvince her that I had done a total hip replacement because everyone at work was convinced that she had not had a hip replacement. So she must have been confused that I had done something different. It wasn't a full hip replacement because there's no way that she could be doing what she was doing with the hip. So I had to show her the x-rays and reconvince her that, yes, we had actually done a hip replacement.
That is a great story.
And I think that's part of the power of this approach and why I'm so passionate about it and why Dr. DeCook is also. But, you know, we find that the hospitals are great. We take good care of patients. The nurses are fantastic. But patients always thrive better in their home environment. There's less risk of infection. And we find that patients do better with regards to blood clots, with regards to everything, when they're up and active and moving early. And when they go home, they're up and active and moving early, to where sometimes in the hospital they're not.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, that's I understand. But that's probably the fear that the layperson has in going home. How am I going to do this? Who's going to help me? You know, and I know you spoke of skilled home care going with them. So tell the listening audience how you bring these outside resources in to assist them out in the home.
Well, with our group, what we've done is we've set up a program to where we have home health therapy that sometimes meets with patients in the preoperative clinic visits before we even do the surgery. Then they are in the hospital and they assess how they're doing along with the physical therapist, and they're getting these things set up beforehand. So the whole thing that makes things scary is the unknown.
Right. And so you refer them to somebody. See, I think that's so scary when they send patients home and give them a list of people that, you know.
Right.
So, but you're it's part of your team, kind of.
That's right. So if patients are much more they're satisfied and they're less fearful when they know. And that's part of what we try to do too, is from the beginning appointments and visits, we really try to speak to them, to let them know the whole process, speak in a way that they understand, and make sure that they know that they're not going to be left alone through the whole process, that they're our patient for life and we're going to take care of them.
I have a question too. You mentioned the hospital. Do you actually do surgeries in nearby hospitals or are the clinics set up for surgeries?
So at this point, we're doing a surgery all in the hospital. We don't have, that's something that is not done in a clinic, but there are ambulatory surgery centers or outpatient surgery centers that we can do surgery. And that's really the new wave. That's going to be stuff that's going to happen in the next 5 years, and it's part of our plan and our future.
What confuses me sometimes about the hospital is this new hospitalist thing. But if are you the doctor that quarterbacks the case the whole time, whether they're in surgery in a hospital or not?
Yep. When they have a joint replacement surgery, we're the quarterback the whole time,
and we're following them the whole time. That's great.
Yeah, there's probably I can't imagine where a hospitalist would intervene for an orthopedic surgeon.
Well, they're very important, and everyone in the hospital is important. There's patients that that have some medical comorbidities, and the hospitalists and other specialists, whether it's cardiology or nephrology or any of them, are very helpful. And the nice thing is to have a relationship with a group of specialists and a hospital to where you can call on them to help assist and help manage patients.
Do you all have certain hospitals that you work with?
Yeah, right now the main hospital that we're working with is Northeast Georgia Medical Center and on the new Braselton campus hospital.
Dr. Garrett, it seems in my world, in what I do business-wise, that an awful lot of our clients either have or are going to have some type of joint replacement. Can you speak to the numbers population-wide that have these procedures? I mean, is that a large number, a small number? What do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's a large number, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. You know, I think that some of the numbers that we quote when we look at studies are there's around 600,000 joint replacements done, hip replacements done every year, and that's just going to continue to increase.
Was that joint replacements or just hip replacements?
I think that's joint replacements.
Okay.
And by 2030, I think that's predicted to double.
Why?
Well, I think that there's just more of our population who's aging. And the interesting thing is nowadays, some of the studies show that with regards to hip replacements, knee replacements are still a little bit higher, but with hip replacements, about half of hip replacements are done in patients under the age of 65. And I think one of the reasons for this is, you know, my grandparents, your grandparents, they were in a generation to where they accepted some decreased function. If their hips started hurting, their knee started hurting, they just sucked it up and said, okay, it's just part of life, and I'll just stop doing some of the things that I want to do. We live in an age now to where people don't want to give things up. They want to still go skiing when they're 60, 65 and 70. They want to still go out on the lake. They want to jog. They want to bike. They want to do all the things that they used to do, and they're not willing to accept the fact that they can't do that anymore. And so I think joint replacements sometimes have allowed us to do a surgery to where these folks can get back to doing those same things that they want to do. With a hip or a knee replacement, you can go back and do all those type of things.
And, you know, and that adds to the idea, and you hear it all the time, you know, 80-year-olds are the new 60-year-olds. And you know, I was Mary Jo and
I. You
going to
go visit them, Sam?
Well, I'm part of them. Wait a minute, that's where I'm going with this. Here I am, 61, and 2 years ago I started running triathlons. And you know, Marcus giving me this look like, are you crazy?
No, I'm giving you a thumbs up.
But I have no discomfort, no pain. My joints are good, so I'm going to do it until my body says to stop. Mm. I mean, it's that simple. And if that takes me till I'm 65 or 70 or 75, then great. And then if I hit that number, then I'm coming to see you for a joint replacement so I can continue to do it.
Is there any preventative tips you can give listeners so that they don't have to or they don't need it right away?
Don't run triathlons when you're 61.
No, I mean, that might be good for it.
Well, you know, it's a very good question. And we do a lot of joint replacements. Our practice did about 1,000 joint replacements last year. So it's a high volume practice. But when you come to see us in clinic, there's no pressure. Joint replacements are really, the patients tell us when they need a joint replacement. There's lots of things that we can do beforehand with medications, with injections, with different things. And frankly, it's a great procedure, but it's something that we don't do and don't recommend until the time comes to where patients are really losing function, they're painful every day, it's starting to become debilitating. But then to answer that question, I think one of the greatest things that patients can do is stay active, and stay active through their whole life. When patients start to become sedentary, lots of things start to happen. And motion and activity are good for your joints. Now, if you're doing a lot of heavy you know, running and stuff that's high impact, then sometimes that can progress arthritis. But if you stay active, that's the best thing that you can do. And even if that means that the time comes where you need a joint replacement surgery, your chance of getting back to the function that you want, if you've been active
and then get
a joint replacement, you're gonna get back to that function that you want. To where if you wait till you're sedentary and really disabled because you just put it off for so long, it's hard to get the function back, even if we do a joint replacement.
And one additional idea for prevention is if a senior or actually any age person is having balance issues, at the Longstreet Clinic we have a balance program that's dedicated to those who have gait issues, walking issues, any type of balance issues, if they're disease-related or just age-related, where a neurologist can test them and try to find out exactly what their baseline problem is, and then a physical therapist trained in balance will work with them. And I actually have observed some of those sessions, and it's been amazing to see the difference in how steady someone is pre and post therapy.
So disease-related movement problems.
Like Parkinson's, right. Yeah.
And there are things that you all do in this balance program that can
right,
help that.
Exactly.
Very good.
Yes, there's a great deal of therapy that can actually help some patients.
And many times, if I'm correct, it's sometimes simple orthotics that can eliminate some imbalance issues, correct?
Right. Yeah.
That's great. Anything else going on with the clinic or with your specialty, Dr. Garrett?
Or any good stories? You told us one.
That was a great story.
We love stories.
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, there's lots of those type of stories. It seems that every day in clinic you're seeing, you know, patients in. And I think that's the great thing about being a physician, not just in orthopedics, but all the physicians throughout the world, not just the Longstreet Clinic, but, you know, we get to be able to see patients and to diagnose, to treat, and then see them gain happiness and function back. It's very rewarding to see patients who can't kneel down with their grandkids or can't take them to Disney World, and then you see them back in clinic after you've taken care of them, and they're doing these things that they love and that they were so sad to give up. And it's just a very rewarding profession, and I think that goes for physicians through, you know, across the board.
That's great.
Now,
yeah.
Are there any symptoms a person might have that, you know, where this might be a good solution for them? You mentioned balance, but are there any other symptoms a person might be having that, you know, that they should contact you?
Pain.
Yeah, I think that's great. So patients typically know when something's not normal, or they know that something's causing them to decrease function. And when it comes to hips and knees, that can be direct pain right there in the hip or the knee. Or it can be low back pain. It can sometimes be that their ankles are sore because they're walking in a way that is not normal because they're favoring one side. They frequently will feel that they're getting decreased range of motion, say that they're having a hard time putting their shoes on because they can't bring their foot or their ankle up to their hands anymore because their hip isn't working as well. And so I think that decreased motion, decreased function, and pain around the joint are the most typical symptoms that patients have when they come to see us. And there in clinic, we can assess, we can do an examination, we can take x-rays and take a look at how things are. And really, I think a clinic visit is a great place to start because they can meet us, we can meet them, get to know them, what their needs are, what they are trying to restore, and we can really assess what the cause of their condition is, and something that we may be able to take care of ourselves, that we can watch for months or years and treat conservatively, or something that we can refer to someone else, such as what Margaret was talking about with the balance.
That's a great segue. Before we end, we really want patients to know where you are and how to find you on the web and phone. And so give us that information, Dr. Garrett.
So, yeah, we have clinics in Sewanee and Braselton. The best way to get a hold of us is probably to call and to schedule an appointment. The phone number that we have is 678-207-HIPS. That's HIPS, which is 4477. We couldn't get the knees, even though we do hips and knees, so we would have had two numbers, but so we just had to go with hips. But again, that's 678-207-HIPS. That's HIPS and 4477. If you call and make an appointment, we'll be able to assess and really see that.
Will they get to talk to a real person? I know that's a dangerous question these days.
They do. They would talk to a scheduler who would put them in our clinic.
And is there a website that they could go to gather some more information?
Yep. The website for the orthopedic part of Longstreet Clinic is www.orthotlc.com. So that's orthotlc.com.
And again, just quick reminder that the Longstreet Clinic is not specifically all about orthopedics, but it's certainly one main facet. From what I understand, all your healthcare needs from being coming into the world to going out can be addressed. That's good. As we close, we always want to ask if there was a piece of advice that you might give someone my age or someone in their 70s. They're experiencing a little bit of pain and they don't know where to begin. What piece of advice might you give them as they start the process to determine what course of treatment is appropriate?
Or any piece of advice to stay healthy or whatever you have to tell our people?
Well, I think from my standpoint and in my specialty, what I would recommend to patients is I think there's sometimes an aversion to going to see someone with a white coat. And so sometimes they let things go and let things go until they really have developed somewhat of a disability or lack of function. So I think that if you're having any of those symptoms, have faith that the physician isn't going to push you to do something invasive. Come to see us. Let us evaluate it. Let us see what's going on. And then we can be a real guide for how to take care of it and to get your function back. But I think really the key is in patients for longevity and for health is just to stay active. And so whatever we can do to help them stay active and keep their function will be better for them in the long run.
And don't be scared of the doc.
That's right.
Come see him.
Because the joint replacements today are so much better than the ones that you may have heard about of yesterday.
Well, we know that for a fact. We see a number of our clients, again, who have gone through joint replacement, and it is amazing. First of all, the recovery time. I mean, it's phenomenal in my mind. But, of course, my reference point is 40 years ago, so that's to be expected. But good information. We certainly thank both of you for being here. Thank you for sharing with our audience. I know it's good information, and we'd like to invite you back. If there's anything going on in the practice, or you're involved in some type of community outreach and you want to get a little bit of traction, Margaret, please get with Mary Jo and we'll go from there.
Great.
Thank you for having us.
Good information. Thank you for being one of the heroes of our senior population. We appreciate that.
Once again, we thank the listening audience for being with us. We thank Margaret and Dr. Garrett for being with us, and we want to remind everyone that you can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.